I'm Ian Barrett.
And I'm Erin Hayes.
Welcome to Business Beat on WICN. And today we're going to talk fitness with
Paul Lee from Peak Fitness Gym.
I think it's a great topic. I think in this world of working all day, trying to get your business up and off the ground, it's really great to have a resource of a guy who's an entrepreneur, but also who understands your need to be physically fit. So let's just get into the show.
Hey everybody, welcome to Business Beat. I'm Ian Baer from Media Boss.
David Ginsberg from WICN Radio.
Erin Hayes from Media Boss.
And we have our guest today.
Paul Lee from Peak Fitness Performance Training.
I'm excited to talk to you about Peak Fitness Performance Training.
All right.
David, can we talk a little bit about how Peak Performance came to you and how you guys know each other?
So I've been a member at Peak for about a year now. What happened was my trainer, a guy named Adam, at a different gym in Worcester that I'm not going to name, was leaving that gym to go work for Paul, and he said, you should really come with me. It's a much better, you'll have a much better experience. And I was ready to make a move anyway, so I said, let me go try this. And I went and I did a sample workout, and I thought it was going to die halfway through it.
That was a good sign of
they got the shovel and lifted me back up. But I realized I liked the challenge of it a lot, and what I found was, I think a lot of members will tell you this, that every class, it's all small group training, and it's very challenging every time out, but the results you get are extraordinary. But it's also, you know, we talk about community a lot for Worcester and for where we are, but there's a community within Peak itself, and Paul will talk about this a lot, about the Peak family. And it really is, you go in, it's like you catch up with your friends before the workout starts, and people are, it's a very supportive, it's not a competitive thing, it's a very supportive, you can do it, you can finish this. And I like that
aspect
of it a lot.
So the components of a successful gym are near-death experience and community, right? So let's talk about a little bit about you designing it.
What Dave says is pretty true. We kind of, anytime someone new comes in, it's regardless of their fitness level, we usually find that's kind of the general experience. Just because the way we program our classes, I was a physical therapy assistant for 11 years before I opened Peak. So I combine the thought processes of a physical therapist combined with fitness training. So what you end up with is a program that can really kick your butt depending on how hard you want to push yourself, but also big focus on injury prevention, technique, form above anything else. And David will probably can attest to this. I am on his back the whole time with the class. And it's more because, you know, he has certain limitations that he's told me about, and I'm very aware of them. So as we do the workout, I'm constantly reminding him, hey, don't forget, want to keep an eye on your knee position. Remember, we modified this exercise because you said your shoulder was giving you a little bit of a problem. So these are the kind of things we kind of take into consideration. And as time goes by, you go from feeling like you're literally going to die in the first workout to, I finished the workout, I feel pretty good, to now I want to try and do a little more. Now I want to try to take the strength classes. Now I want to try and be in the top 10 times if we do a timed workout. That's kind of how the process goes.
Well, let me ask you a ridiculous question. Why is fitness important?
Besides just overall health, right? Weight loss, blood pressure, the whole picture of fitness, the more you can do, the more you're able to tolerate, the better off your body is in the long run. And that's not even just talking about the gym, it's just daily activities, trying to move the sofa, yard work, mowing the lawn, if you have dogs, taking them for a walk. People have come in and said that was a struggle for them. Their dogs were kind of getting gypped in the process because they would just go in, come back out, or they had to hire somebody to do yard work. And that would be kind of an extreme, but that's just an example of why fitness is important in daily life, not just how much can I bench? How much can I squat? It's more about, can I hike with my friends if I want?
Being a full person, you know?
And
it's a leading question. I obviously know fitness is important, but it's true. You don't realize the things that you sacrifice because you're, you know, nursing like a weakness, or you're not really pushing yourself.
It will help your body, but it also absolutely helps your mind.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, for what you're saying about not being able to walk the dog, I mean, that is a physical problem, but it's also a mental release when you are able to walk the dog.
Right.
I can add, you know, from personal experience, you know, can be candid with the audience watching. There's a lot of studies that show the link between good physical health and getting regular exercise and alleviating depression. I've dealt with a lot of depression over the years as an adult. I've done a lot of treatment. And the workouts have made a huge difference because of that release and that constant sort of, I'm there 4 or 5 times a week. It does help to lessen that stuff because the endorphins are released and the exercise and just being in physically better shape does really have an impact on your mental health. And the other part of that is, it's challenging. You know, I joke a lot, and I there's a lot of colorful language that happens at the gym during the workouts. You'll hear some very creative uses of various F words.
Really good at Dave gets really good at sign language right around the 19th minute of a workout.
But as challenging as they are, in early on, I was really convinced I couldn't know I'm going to finish this, and I would finish it. It's as someone that was never overburdened with self-confidence, to the gain you get from being able to finish those workouts and see the results, it does breed, it affects the rest of your life. And you go, if I can do this, I can do this. Right. And that's a big payoff. And unlike a lot of other, and I don't mean to make this an ongoing endorsement of Peak as much as I'm a fan, but a lot of gyms where it's, especially in Worcester, you have a lot of places that are, you know, $9.95 a month and you're on your own and good luck. You're not really getting a lot of benefit from that. Most people join those things and never actually go.
That's actually their profit model.
Right.
Is that the people that don't use it? I think you probably know the exact number, but it's like something in the air, like 20% of the people actually use the membership, and this all, there's a whole dormant people that are paying $9 a month and never going to the gym. Right. So they're not even using the experience.
No, and we're the exact opposite. We want you to be a use model. You know, our rates are pretty competitive with the other gyms. We're constantly looking at seeing what other gyms charge for similar programs. You know, obviously, I own a gym. That's how I make my living. Right. I want to make money. But at the same time, it's more about seeing people's confidence level grow, seeing people improve physically, seeing people improve mentally, like Dave's talking about. The boost in confidence that people get when they're able to bench press the real bar versus a training bar.
Right.
You know, the smile on their face, stuff like that is huge. And when people don't come, we're kind of checking in a little bit, like, hey, haven't seen you in a week, haven't seen you in 2 weeks, is everything okay? And, you know, maybe I'm not the norm, but I have no problem if someone says, I can't make it. I'm like, all right, well, you have other stuff going on in your life. Why don't we pause?
Yeah.
When you get everything back together, let me know, we'll bring you back in.
It's holistic.
The big gym, the big box gym model doesn't really work for what I'm trying to accomplish when I open the gym.
What is that? Because I like what you said. You started as a physical therapist assistant, and so you have that that mentality of not wanting people to injure themselves just to bench what they want to bench. So
right.
About
I mean, so
bit.
We're when I first started. If you know, let's go back to 2006, 2007, when I really started noticing. That's when the boot camp and the gym phase really CrossFits were getting big and all that stuff. And as a therapist, I noticed an influx in people coming in with knee injuries, back injuries. And the thing that really flipped the switch for me was I had a woman who came in, disc herniation in her neck. And when we were talking about her history, some guy over at Elm Park had her doing squats with a sandbag around her neck. And she said when she squatted, she bent forward and the sandbag kind of flipped over her neck and she hurt her neck. So I talked to my boss and I was like, listen, we need to figure out a way to fix this. And I think the best thing to do is to offer a program. And that's how it started. So form, again, is number one, but again, Dave will be the first one to tell you, once your form is good, I'm all about pushing you within your limits of safe movement. People always tend to underestimate what they actually can do. Myself, having been involved in either fitness or physical therapy for almost 20 years, I trust myself when I see somebody going, is that person really challenging themselves and doing what we want them to do, or are they kind of coming in a little bit underneath because they're not sure and they're not really confident? Personality comes into play, their goals come into play. But at the end of the day, it's my judgment and using my experience as a trainer to say, you can add 5, you can add 10, you're good there. Those are all things that really come into play as a trainer. It's not just about keep adding, so that you can tell people, hey, I finally bench pressed 225, and then you don't want to be that guy on the video that just did a quarter rep. You know what I mean? So we're
we'll also tell people to take weight off too and work
yes,
on form. You've done that with me.
Yeah.
I think the misconception that people have also is that daily life isn't like stressful and daily life isn't something that you need to train for. The truth of it is you do. The stress that you put yourself under, lack of sleep, travel, not eating right, having lots of different kinds of responsibilities, whether it's kids and your job and then you know any other extracurricular things you're involved in, maintaining your body health makes you a better performer in all these areas as well. And I think that's another reason that going to fitness training is important.
Oh yeah, 100%. Just everything you just talked about. I mean, there are people that they've had a rough day at work. They know the gym is there for a kind of like an outlet. I can't tell you how many times we've done heavy bag punches and people are like, I'm so psyched you had that today. I had such a bad day at work, you know. But it's true. The fitness model isn't isolated to one part of your life. It can really carry over into all aspects. Stress, home life, extracurricular activities, all these things, you know. You hear about stories all the time, people saying they wanted to do something, but they didn't know if they physically could do it. So they just either say no or come up with a reason why they can't. Just starting with walking, that's the basic model. Just move, you know. And then after that, as you get comfortable, you get confident, then maybe you try the DVD at home. Then you start to notice, well, I'm following the DVD, but my knees hurt when I do it. And that's when you realize you actually need somebody to watch you to tell you, you're this close to doing it right, and if you make this one change, that knee pain will probably go away. And that's kind of where you know, people in my role, my trainers, other gym owners, that's where they come into play. And certification is really important. There's all different levels out there. So you have the person that took the weekend certification online, and so they got a piece of paper that says they're a trainer. And then there's the top of the ladder, which is the certified strength and conditioning coach, which right. requires a collegiate degree, which requires continuing ed, and it's a difficult exam to pass.
I appreciate that a lot, because honestly, injury can sideline any kind of fitness program for quite some time, and then have ramifications that last for months and years later beyond that. So obviously making sure that you don't get hurt is really, really important. What questions should people, like if you're listening or watching, what questions can you ask yourself about whether your personal condition should lead you to go to the gym or not? Like what should we be looking at?
I mean, it really comes down to what your motivation is as an individual. You know, it's funny, I get phone calls all the time, people saying like, hey, you need to advertise. The thing is, the advertisement doesn't work until the individual is actually ready to take that step. And there's all different triggers. It could be simple as, you know, I walked up the stairs and I realized I was sucking wind because I couldn't breathe. To sometimes they have, you know, on the other extreme, it's a family member passes away and they realize, like, I got to get my act together, otherwise I don't want to pass away at an early age either, you know. So whatever the trigger is, it's more about the individual feeling like they're ready. And it's always a trigger that happens. It's hard for me to say which ones we see the most, but usually it's what I'll hear is, I've driven by your gym for a year and I finally decided I got to go.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, I literally, the other day, right. I had a woman signed up. She drove by our gym on the way to work for the last 7 months before she decided to finally stop in.
You have to be ready.
Yeah. Once you're ready, then... After that, the questions you should be asking are towards the gym and the trainer.
Right.
How do you come up with your programs? What's your philosophy? What's your background? How long have you been doing this? What kind of certification do you have? All those things come into play to making a gym that's going to be appropriate for you. You know, some people love the run me into the ground programming.
Yeah.
And other people are like, I really don't like sweating. I just want to kind of burn a few cows. You know
what I
mean?
Let's talk about that. I mean, that's a great thing. What if I don't want to sweat? What can I do? I mean, like you mentioned, everybody's different, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, even doing isometric holds can be really difficult. And those literally require no movement. It's just holding certain body positions so that your muscle groups are firing for a prolonged period of time. That would be a great baseline for someone that's, you know, they think they're really out of shape and they don't know what they can do. Try holding a plank, try holding a leg lift, try holding a sit-up position. Anything that requires you to use your body weight to fight gravity, that would be the easiest place to start. And then from there you progress and you add a little bit of movement. Maybe from a plank position we start to march our feet. Maybe from the sit-up position I add a little bit of a side-to-side rock so I get my obliques into it. And then that would be the baseline level to move up. And then from there I've kind of done all I can at home. Now maybe I want to sign up to one of those $9.99 gyms.
We're going to take a little second out of this interview to talk about why local radio is so important and what makes a station like WICN so important to a place like Worcester. Radio is an oasis for a community. As we move forward in technology, as we move forward in our social media and our tablets and our phones, one of the oldest technologies that exists is actually radio. And it's something that your grandparents and great-grandparents listened to. It's what brought them together. And it's wonderful that in this day and age, this is still a tool that a community can use to stay connected. What's great about the programming here at this station is that they have the full gamut of music with the full gamut of topics with DJs from all over that bring real expertise to it. And they also reach out to the community and become part of the events that go on. In the case of Arts Worcester, they're directly involved with some of the events that are happening, and you'll see more involvement going forward. So you need to get involved with WICN, and you should tell WICN what you're interested in so they can promote you. That's what it's for. It's really rare to have a pulpit like this or a soapbox like this or a place to speak from. And that's what makes this station so wonderful. And it's something that as we go forward becomes more rare, and it needs to be treasured by this community. So the fact that we're here talking to business leaders, in this case Arts Worcester, about what they're doing and sharing this information with you, you can be doing this too. If you'd like to be on this program, please let us know. You can reach us here at WICN, and we'd love to have you and have you share your thoughts and share your inspiration for other people to become part of the Worcester community. And now back to our interview.
Let's talk a little bit about diet and some healthy living. What are the tips, some tips people need to be aware of just to, you know, start living a little bit better too? Because with the performance training and the fitness training, you start to find out that, wow, I can't, my body's not saying I'm going to do this.
Sometimes right in the middle of a workout, you realize like I'm depleted, and it's because you haven't eaten right or had enough water. I've found I've slowed down because I was dehydrated and not from sweating because I hadn't had enough fluid during the day.
I was under the impression that most people are dehydrated.
I would say majority of the people that we see don't understand how much, myself included sometimes. You know, I'm on the run from, my day starts, I get up at 3:50.
Wow.
And first class is at 5:15. And some days I don't take a break until 12 or 1. And during that time, it's usually, I've had my coffee.
Because that's important.
And I try to drink water, but sometimes you forget and you run. I mean, to have the 64 to 72 ounces that, you know, actually, I think it might be more than that. It might actually be 128 ounces of water you're supposed to drink in the course of a day.
No way.
That's a lot.
You don't hit that yet?
I don't do it.
That's a lot.
I mean, I can do that in beer.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. One of my buddies owns a baseball training facility up in Nashua, and he's got a lot of high school and middle school kids that go there, notorious for just drinking soda and stuff like that, not water.
Right.
He's got a note tacked up in both bathrooms with a pee color chart that tells you when you're dehydrated, when you're not. And I laughed at it at first, but I was like, that's actually genius.
Yeah. No,
like, you
is.
Don't have to put any thought process to it. It might be TMI, but you look at the chart and you look down and you go, I'm dehydrated, you know, or I'm good today. But people usually don't have a gauge to tell if they're hydrated or not until it's too late, until you've done something and you got cotton mouth and you can't, move and you can't breathe and all that
stuff. The other side of that too is a lot of times people say, I'm going to lose 40 pounds and get in great shape, and it's too much because you're not going to make that many significant life changes in one shot. But I found over the years, and especially with Peak, when you start working out regularly, even if you don't change your diet right away, you kind of naturally start, you're not going to make a better choice and have a salad instead of having a sandwich. Or, you know, you start to make better, I'm going to eat a lean protein here and not, you know, this high fat thing, because you realize, like, I'm going to work out tomorrow. I want to make sure I'm fueled enough to make sure that I can get through it. It's a natural kind of evolution into that lifestyle.
It's funny because when you're in a sedentary lifestyle, you can eat anything.
Right.
But once you start working out, that you see a fast food chain, you're like, no way. It's like upsetting to even think about eating that. And you strive other foods.
It's also, it physically, you know, if you go from eating that stuff to not eating it and then you go back, your body literally, like,
rejects it.
It freaks out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you're like, I'm not eating that again for a while. but it's really all about balance. Anyone who knows me that's watching this will laugh at this. I'm notorious for my donut crave, my donut thing. I grew up in New Jersey. There's a donut shop down there called Glazed Donuts. They make the best donuts ever. And now that's starting to move up here. You have Union Square Donuts, by all these donut shops in Boston and all that stuff. I don't eat a Dunkin' Donuts donut,
right?
But I'll eat a gourmet donut,
because
and I have no problem.
It's the
well,
way it's
it
made?
Just tastes better. They usually use better, they use better ingredients, you know. And I honestly, it's not that I eat it all the time, but it just makes it so. Once in a while, I'll have a couple of donuts, but it's all about balance. You got to get your proteins, you got to get your carbs, you got to get your veggies, you got to get your grains. You have to have enough fluid, and it's okay if you throw in a pizza or a burger, as long as it's not, I had pizza three times this week,
right?
And what I kind of, people that just are looking for general nutritional guidance, I basically tell them, Monday through Friday, stick to the book. Have a good breakfast, healthy greens, proteins, all that stuff. Friday, Saturday, you want to cut loose and have some beers with your friends or have pizza or go out, like, that's fine. Just get back on track Monday. And just by doing that, people will notice they gradually lose weight. And then that in itself becomes motivation for not straying from that game plan. And then, on the flip side, if someone's like, I have a reunion, an anniversary, or a wedding coming up, and I got 6 weeks, what can I do? That's when we can really talk about tightening up the rules, saying, this is how much protein you're supposed to eat a day. Make sure you get this many servings of veggies, grains, carbs, cut out the refined sugar. All that more technical stuff can come into play if you have a specific goal in mind. But generally speaking, for the average person, Monday through Friday, eat like you think you're supposed to eat, and then on the weekends, have some fun. And that's the way to keep it going for a long term and not to put the weight back on right after you've lost 20 pounds.
Right, because you're not making changes that are impossible. They're all realistic.
Yes,
and
100%.
When you see the yo-yo, it's because they're making unrealistic changes and then they can't, it's just not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right.
The fact that you like donuts makes me like you more. I have to be honest with you. Like, there's a level where fitness, you look at people and like, I can't live that lifestyle. Yeah. I like beer too much, or I like, you know, pizza too much.
But that goes back to the unrealistic expectations.
Right.
We're humans. Right. We just have to.
100%. I think it also leads into, from a nutrition standpoint, because there's a lot of junk science out there. You see people eating what they think is a healthy protein bar, but it's got 40 grams of sugar
in it.
It's
a candy bar.
Yeah, exactly.
That says protein on it.
Yeah,
exactly. And there's a lot of that in the industry. So if that's part of what you're doing, is providing a service to help people find their way through that information to develop a program for themselves.
Right. And we do, you know, like most gyms do, we run challenges a few times a year to help people get on track with weight loss and things like that. And one of the things that we've started incorporating a little bit more when people ask is, how do you read a label? Kind of like what David brought up. It's not necessarily about how many, like at the end of the day, how many carbs, how many sugars, how many fats are in this bar. It's why are they there? Where are they coming from? You know, you'll see a bar that's loaded with nutrients that might have 18 grams of carbs in it, might have 9 grams of sugar, 10 grams of sugar, which on a normal standard, people will say that's a little bit high, but then you look and it's got 32 natural vitamins and minerals in it. It's got, you know, fiber and all this other stuff. And then you pick up another bar and it's got 4 ingredients and it has the same nutritional components.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That 4 ingredient bar is probably a garbage bar. And the other one that might have a little more carbs and sugar is actually better for you because that was built as a meal replacement bar. So it's supposed to give you more carbs, more sugar based on the ingredients in that bar. So understanding where that comes from is just as important as just looking at the label and the numbers.
So on a business standpoint, let's look at this from as a businessman in a wider scope. In the last 40 years, gyms have changed and the fitness industry is actually probably bigger now than it ever was. And you see a whole spectrum of, you know, basically 24-hour pay what you, you know, pay by the day gyms to the super high end luxury penthouse suite gyms,
right?
So Les, where do you fit in this industry, and why do you have the courage to start a business now when there's so much competition out there?
I've been fortunate enough to, we're going on year 11 at peak, so I've kind of watched a little bit of the peaks and valleys, but it's people want direction, people want structure. There's also people that are fine with just walking into that, you know, 24-hour gym and doing their own thing, and they can do that for their whole life and be fine. And then there are people that can afford the luxury of having that one trainer that charges them $150 an hour, and they, you know, they get the towel and the special water and all that stuff. But majority of the population wants a place that offers classes early morning, evenings, weekends, that they can walk in, they know what they're going to do, they have somebody there that's going to take their interest in mind and their form, kind of give them instruction, make the corrections, and then they don't have to think. They just go work out. Someone's telling me what to do. I know I just got my butt kicked. I feel good about myself. I'll see you tomorrow.
Right.
And that is probably the main wheelhouse of fitness right now. People are looking for some guidance. They're looking for some structure, and they want to see results. At the end of the day, you have to give results. If you don't, they'll go somewhere else.
Right.
So finding that all-encompassing gym today, even though there are more gyms than ever, I feel like once people go for a while, they start to weed out the ones that don't offer all of it, right? You have CrossFit isn't for everybody.
Right.
The YMCA isn't for everybody. Orange Theory, which is the new booming business, that's not necessary for everybody. Some people want to use heavier weights.
Right.
It all depends on what the business is targeting for a market audience. My particular gym, I'm probably, our major demographic is people over the age of 40, people that are recovering from some sort of injury, and they don't want to get hurt again. We do have college athletes. We have people in their 20s that used to be college athletes, all the way up to Claudia, who's been with me since 2009 and just turned 73.
Wow.
So she still comes twice a week. I know she's got a bad knee. We make little modifications and she just keeps trucking
that
along.
Is,
you know, so
awesome.
You can find everybody in between. I think the hard part is getting the knowledge out there for people to find out. You know, I'm happy if people go somewhere else and they get good results and they're safe and all that stuff. But really, it's going back a few questions ago to what you said, you got to ask questions when you go in.
Right.
Who's training you? You know, are they getting their programs online? Or are they creating it? Do they understand modifications? Do they understand regressions and progressions? All that stuff is super important.
Let me ask you now the lesson that I think the next step would be is like, how have you embraced technology and what you're doing? Do you have a digital component of what you do? Are you interested in how the online or live streaming operations work? Is that something that you see for yourself, or like how does Peak incorporate?
For
that?
Myself, not at this time, just because I'm so busy doing everything. Mm-hmm. It's hard, you know, I do the social media, I do the programming, I do the scheduling, I answer the emails, I do all that stuff.
Right.
So I would love to get some more technology in there. There's a whole bunch of stuff where you can measure your heart rate and put it up on a TV screen and do all that. And for me, that stuff is great. That's all accessory components. But at the end of the day, I feel like connecting with the person is almost more important than what technology I have to offer. If you walk in 4 days a week and I barely say hi to you, but you know, I go, hey, we got this new thing. Just make sure you're at 80%. I'll catch you later.
Right.
After a while, you're going to go, why? What am I doing here?
Right.
But if every day you're there, I'm like, hey, how's it going? How's your shoulder? How's your dog? Like, what's going on? Like, we're talking as we're going on. That connection is tenfold more important than me showing you, check out this new app I have on my phone.
Isn't that really the data that personalizes all this? I mean, and isn't what the technology strives to do is to understand where you are, but at the end of the day, having human contact is actually making you the best.
People want to feel like they're a part of something. It's, you know, the oldest marketing thing is how do I feel included and feel valued, right? And I think one of the things that you do well, and a lot of, you know, again, the $9.95 a month gyms don't do this. You just charge your credit card and you're on your own. You know, outside of the workouts, there's a cornhole tournament coming up. Mm-hmm. You know, they do golf outings. There's a sense of like a community. You've made friends with the people you've sweated out with for every day for months at a time. It's cool to be able to hang out. That's the connection people have, and it makes you reluctant to leave. You want to be a part of it. I look forward to going to the gym as much as, you know, I might bitch during the workouts. It's getting up and actually going and doing it is motivating because I know, like, I'm going to have a great workout. I'm going to get a sweat going. I'm going to see people I like, walk away feeling like I made one more step closer to the goal that I set for myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess my last is going to talk about Worcester as a community and being here and being from here. What have you noticed in the last 11 years with your business? What's changing? What's happening?
I first came here fall of 93, my sophomore year at Clark is when I first came into Worcester. The amount of growth in the city, especially over the last few years, has been like, it's ridiculous. The amount of restaurants, the amount of activities, the bands that are playing, all the outdoor activities there are, the murals that are going up, all that kind of stuff is just, it's awesome. You know, in the city, I feel like there's this positive energy coming, and then that's even before the Woo Sox are going to be opening up. Is that the official name they picked?
Yeah, well, I think so.
I hope
so.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's a no-brainer right there.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like before, you know, I had friends that lived in Boston. They lived in Watertown. They lived in Newton. And I'd be like, you know, yeah, I'm in Worcester. And they're like, you're still staying there? And now it's different. You know what I mean? Like Worcester has always had certain things to offer. And now I think that's just slowly expanding. You got people now moving into Worcester that work in Boston because what Worcester has to offer is just as good.
Right.
You know, and it makes me proud to feel like Peak is a very, you know, it's a small business, but, you know, we have, you know, about 150 members right now, and it's the impact that we're able to have on that group of people. It makes me proud. You know, a lot of people that live in Worcester, that work in Worcester, all that stuff, having a little bit of a piece of that, I think is awesome.
That's amazing. Well, so, Dave, how can we get in touch? How can we, you know, since he found you, what, because he ran into you on the street? I mean,
I can thank Adam for Dave. we're on 712 Plantation Street, right on the Worcester and Shrewsbury line, right off 290 there. Website is peakfitnessworkouts.com. You can get, everyone gets a free trial class just to see what we're about. And then, you know, you try the introductory month at $79. And then if you like it, you join, and if you don't, I'm more than happy to help you find one that fits you.
Or you could just meet David here after work and
you can come to class with me. I'll show you your way through.
Just need to have your earmuffs ready. That's all.
Well, thanks for watching. This is Business Beat 2.0 Redo. We're really excited about the opportunity to be here. Thank you for hosting us in the studio.
Our pleasure.
And we're going to continue to provide more local programming and talking about business and being here in Worcester.
Studio 50 is available if you want to use it. We record live bands, hip-hop acts, podcasts, TV shows. The room is available. WICN.org has the details. Email me, david@WICN.org. Happy to work it out with you.
All right. We'll include all those details in the liner's notes for this show. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks.
Wow, that was a great show.
He was fantastic.
I think that we need to have more guests like that on the show. So
absolutely.
Thank you for listening to Business Beat on WICN with Aaron Hayes.
And Ian Barrett.
See you next week.